Welcome to Empowering Connections, a podcast by Connie Akins, a licensed professional counselor with a private practice to help you heal your personal and professional relationships through counseling advice, tips, and ideas. Empowering Connections will focus on healthy ways to improve these relationships, help you manage your stress, and attain a better sense of self-fulfillment.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today I have a special guest with me. His name is Brendan Jackson. He works for an appraisal management company, and he's a single dad. And today, Brendan and I are going to be talking about single fatherhood. Recently, I was watching the Kevin Hart movie, and it was just really interesting to me the types of struggles that single fathers can go through. And so searched and found Brendan. And so he obliged to be on our show today. And he's just going to give you some insight into what it feels like to be a single father. Brendan, I want you to tell the audience about yourself, about your podcast, and how they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on social media. Instagram at BirdmanBrand84. You can also follow our podcast page, which is just say more of a network because I'm trying to, you know, build a podcast network. But it's Blueprint _ Media Network. So make sure you guys follow me there. And then you can find our podcast, the Fade Up Podcast, pretty much on any major podcast platform. So, guys, please go out and support. Like Connie said, I'm working the mortgage industry. Appraisal management company, been in the mortgage industry for a long time. So if you got questions about mortgage stuff, you guys could hit me up on that too.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So Brendan, tell us the story about how you became a single father and what the journey has been like so far for you.
After, my daughter's mom and I, we were together for about 7 years. And five of that, I believe we were together, when my daughter was here. So after we broke up, my daughter was with her for a while. And then she had to move and go to a different location, but we didn't want her to leave her school. So I decided that I could take upon that, the responsibilities to have her with me because, you know, during the summertime and then not only the summertime, but during the school year anyway, because I was taking her back and forth to school and doing all that stuff, even when she was living with her mom, she would stay with me for days on end in the summertime. Obviously she'd be with me for weeks and things like that. So it wasn't really a huge transition, I would say initially, because it was something that I just felt that I was used to already. But it's it's a lot more than what I even anticipated.
Okay. I think that parenting is a complex relationship. I think that, you know, being a single mom or a single dad, you have to work out different concerns that sometimes you wish you had a partner to help with, but it does not in any way diminish the type of relationship that you can have with your children, with your family, and with your friends. And right. So you said you have a daughter. How old is your daughter?
She's 11. So she'll be 12 this year. That's crazy. You know, it's always crazy, obviously, to see your kids growing up, but it's just to when you are on the side of being a parent versus, you know, when you're not, it's just, like I said, time moves fast. It's like, wow, I still literally remember when you were a baby, barely learning how to walk, barely talking, your first day of school. Like, I remember all that. It just seems like it was like not too long ago.
Okay. And so being a father, doing the, what we call mommy duties, I think, how does that feel? Like, for example, when you had to get her ready for school or comb her hair or just, you know, do the things that we traditionally consider to be mom's responsibility.
It was tough, and I had to give a lot of credit to her mother, because her mother, you know, prior to that was doing that every day, and it, you know, that responsibility came to me, and it was hard. I was not good at doing her hair, like, at all. So that was a struggle. But you know, you gotta do it, because the thing that I learned as a parent, and especially as a first time parent, her mother's a first time parent, is that we're all learning this on the fly. So the things that her mom was doing are not necessarily things that she already knew. I know that you know, there's a thought that women kind of already have this, you know, this nurturing, you know, this kind of they're predisposed to nurture and things like that. But at the same time, you're still learning, because just because you're predisposed to that doesn't mean that you know what it's like to raise a child and things. So I had to give my hats off to her, because, you know, she's learning that stuff on the fly, but she was doing it every day. And I'm like, this is now, the responsibility is now on me. So I'm the one that has to get her up in the morning, make sure she's dressed, make sure she's bathed, make sure she's fed, you know, make sure that she looks presentable to go to school, that her hair is not all over the place, and just, you know, so she can feel good about herself, so she can feel confident. You know, and then as a parent too, you just want you want the best for your child. And that's, even that is wanting the best for them.
Absolutely. What do you feel is a skill that every single dad should have?
A skill that every single dad should have, I think, is emotional flexibility. And I say that because us as men, we are, you know, we think we have to be tough and hard all the time. And that's not the way you have to be. And especially in this generation, because we live in a different world than what we were growing up in. Many of us grew up with the mom was the softer, the father was the harder one. You got to be tough all the time. You got to, you know, you can't show emotion in those things. But I think that showing emotion is good. Yeah, you got to be tough at times. You got to put on, you know, you got to put on your angry face, your tough face, or whatever. You got to go out there, or when your child is not doing the things that they're supposed to do, you got to be able to discipline them and all that. But everything is not about being hard. So there are things that I'm going to struggle with. There are days where I'm not going to feel as good as I did the day before. And that's okay. And I want her to be able to see that as a father, I could be vulnerable, because I want her to grow up. And one day, if she decides to get married and she meets someone, that individual is vulnerable, nurturing, understanding of her needs and her wants and what's going on with her too. So I think as a single father, you have to learn to be flexible, not be so rigid, because you have to be able to put on that other hat. You may not be able to pick up the phone and talk to her mom or take her to her mother when she needs to have those conversations, or when she's going through certain things within her body or those changes. So us as fathers, understand that you're here, they're here in front of you right now. You know, be flexible.
I really, really like the fact that you said emotional flexibility, Brendan. I just did a podcast on attachment, and it's so important that children feel nurtured, that they feel secure, and that as a parent, you are able to be vulnerable. At the same time, you are teaching them the skills that you want them to learn. So if you want them to be emotionally flexible, not rigid, be able to have a sense of emotional regulation, then it requires us as parents to do the exact same thing. And so it's shocking, but listen, this is a good man, because emotional flexibility is something that's going to make your daughter feel safe and secure.
Yes. And that's how I want her. It's exactly how I want her to feel. I want her to feel that she can come to me about anything. She can talk to me about anything. But not only that, she knows that dad is going to protect her, not just physically, but he's also going to protect her emotionally. And that's important to me.
Absolutely. And so many children have not seen that emotional vulnerability in certain generations, like you said. And I'm happy to say that millennials are doing a much better job at being more vulnerable with their children, allowing for them to express themselves, and also teaching them that it's okay to be vertical. And so that's absolutely wonderful. What would you say was your biggest challenge, being a single father and taking over the responsibilities that you didn't have before?
It was definitely time. Definitely time is the biggest challenge. You kind of alluded to it early on, but it's different. You got to manage things differently now. When I first took over the bulk of the responsibilities, I was in a relationship. So I didn't have time to, I all of a sudden had to adjust the time that I was spending with my girlfriend at the time, whom I was with at the time. I had to adjust my freedoms and flexibility. I had to understand that if one of my friends called me on a Tuesday and was like, "Hey, let's go hang out, let's go watch the game," I might not be able to do that. And I couldn't, and not that the person I was with at the time, not that she wasn't willing to watch her and things, but that's not her responsibility. That's my responsibility. So I couldn't put that on her. "Hey, you know, one of my boys are calling me and we about to go to the bar to watch the game. Can you watch my daughter for a minute?" That wasn't on her. That was me. So adjusting to that was tough. Also, within that time and after that relationship dissolved and I had my emotional issues that I was going through and I went to therapy, and my therapist told me at the time, he said, "Yes, you do have your child, but you have to be able to make some time and availability for yourself. Because at the same time, yeah, you do want to adjust your time and things to put into your children, to be with them, to understand that I don't have the same flexibility. I can't go hang out. I can't just do this now. I have to take into account what's going on with them." But also having to adjust that time again now to give time to yourself, because at one point in time, I'm like, I don't have time for anything, because when I'm off work and I have her, it's her time. But then learning that it's okay to have that me time too. So like I said, that was the biggest challenge in learning how to navigate that. I mean, I'm still learning how to navigate it as she's getting older, because she might require more attention from me, or she, you know, as kids get older and she's getting into those teen years, she might require less time with me. I don't want you around me, Dad. Leave me alone. Like I said, I'm still learning how to do that, but that was the biggest adjustment.
Okay. And so, you know, I think that, yes, as children develop and grow into their own, you know, independent personalities, they do need some time alone, but they still need the level of supervision. Because like I said, when we were offline, working with teens, a lot of times, I see that parents feel like the teen is, "Oh, they're old enough. They can do this. They can do that." Well, a lot of teens are still crying for that support. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to give them the emotional support. And like you said, it's also important as a parent to practice self-care, mm-hmm. to find balance, because balance is something that helps you be a better father to your daughter. Yes. You do have to have some time to yourself. Right. And it's okay. And so, you know, with that in mind, who is your support system? What does it look like so that you can have time to yourself to rejuvenate, to just have a moment, take a break?
My family definitely is my support system. Especially my mother, early on, especially, you know, from day one, when my daughter was born, was always there. Like for, I don't know, the first like 2 years or so, I didn't even have to really buy her clothes, because like my mother was like constantly buying her stuff. And I had to get to a point where I'm like, "You don't need to do all that all the time." Cause my mom, "Well, I don't have any money, but I want to take her to go here and get this and get that." And you know, not only that, my mom she's taken her on trips. She's taken her places. So she's definitely the biggest one, but just my family period, when it comes to her, has been the biggest support system. And then there's also, you know, if I do need time to myself, thankfully, her mother and I have a good enough relationship to where if something has happened, I'm not there, you know, mentally or emotionally, or I just need that break. And I'm like, I need some time, or I want to go hang out, or I want to do this and I want to do that. I can also call on her, and she doesn't hesitate either. So I'm grateful for that, because I know a lot of people are not in the same position that I am, and it's just them. So I really appreciate that, and I don't take it for granted. And my advice would be to anybody who does have a support system, don't take that for granted. Don't abuse it. Thank those people, show them that you appreciate them, be there for them, because they don't have to do any of that for you. And the fact that they're willing to do it, says a lot. So show them that you're grateful for being there.
Awesome. So, you know, being a single father with a daughter, what type of traditions have you set within your family, or what is something that you and your daughter enjoy doing together?
Well, most recently, we started doing like movie nights on Fridays, because I'm like, hey, with the pandemic happening, and who knows, I know numbers are going back up. They're already talking about possibly shutting things back down again and all that. I'm like, let's do this. We could have movie nights. So, you know, when you're with me, those weekends that you're with me, because we have an every other week schedule, I'm like, those weekends that you're with me, we could sit down, we could watch movies. Something that me and my daughter share a passion for also is music. So I listen to a lot of music. She listens to a lot of music. Sometimes she surprises me, because I'll hear in her headphones, and I'll hear certain songs playing, and I'm like, you know, when did you start listening to that? But also have to remember, you know, I have such a diverse ear for certain things. So some of that stuff, she's either picked it up from me, or she's open to it because she knows that I'm open to so many things. So we love music. I try to talk to her a little bit about some of the artists that she listens to, ask her why she listens to them. How did you hear about this person? She loves Ice Cube right now. So yeah. I'm like, you know, where did you start hearing Ice Cube from? And, you know, why are you intrigued by him? So those are some of the things that we share.
Okay. Awesome. So, you know, you mentioned earlier that you were dating previously. What was dating like, as a single father? Is it difficult? Is it easy? How is it?
In the beginning, it was difficult. And it was difficult because, like I said, I didn't know how to adjust the time. And I was like, it has to be her. So, like, the only time that I would go out on dates is when I didn't have her, when she wasn't with me on the weekends, or, you know, if my mom or something was watching her, because my mom, you know, she will sometimes, hey, bring her over during the week and I'll take her to school. And so those were the only times that I would be able to kind of go out and date. Then, like I said,
how did you feel emotionally when you were dating and the fact that you were still raising your daughter?
It was a little tough because, just, you know, the first thing you have in mind, especially being single and having your child, is how is this person going to interact? And I'm not saying that, you know, every person I dated, they met my daughter. And I mean, I would never do anything like that. But, you know, you do think that with the potential, you know, for people that you're dating, is like, you know, what are the interactions going to be? How is that person going to deal with this? Or what is, not even if not meeting them, what is that person going to think as I tell them that, you know, I have a child, for one, and for two, that she's with me? So that it was very difficult in the beginning, and it was something that I didn't really rush. Like, I didn't really have the confidence, more so. And I think that's why I didn't rush, because I just didn't know how it was going to be perceived. But over time, I had to learn to adjust that, because you still have to be able to have that me time. Okay. So you could just relax a little bit so that you're not so on edge and rigid and that kind of stuff. And I think that it circles back. So it over time, it had gotten a lot easier. And subsequently in relationships and things after that, you know, it's also been easier too. And, you know, I have someone that I'm with now that is, you know, she's very supportive and understanding of that too. So it's just, like I said, it was up and down. It was hard. It was trying to figure out, trying to navigate. But over time, you just kind of learn what to, you know, you learn what to do and what works best for you and your household.
Okay. And that's what's important. What works best for you and your household, and also how you can engage that other person with your daughter when you're ready for that to happen.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So my last question is, what advice would you give to new fathers or to single fathers?
My advice that I always like to give to new fathers, single fathers, and I'm going to throw relationships in there, period. When you have children that are involved, is think about the child. Don't take things personally with your ex, your baby mom, whoever it is that, you know, you had a child with. They didn't ask to be brought in this world. So understand that, but make sure the things that you're doing, keep them in mind. Even if things are about you sometimes, because we, you know, as human beings, we're naturally selfish. We do things for us first, but keep your child in mind, even when it's outside of, you have your moments where you're like, your child has to be put first. And that's where, you know, always put your child first. But even when, like I said, it's for you, keep that in mind. You know, things that I do, even if I'm going after a job or, you know, if I'm looking to move somewhere or whatever moves that I make, 9 times out of 10, I'm trying to have her in mind. How is she going to be affected by this? Is this going to work out for her in a good way as well? Is she not going to like this? Or, you know, what is she going to think of that? And, you know, so you got to keep that stuff in mind. And then, like I said, just keep an open mind with that individual, because I think a lot of times the reason why people get into it with their former significant others and things is because they take everything so personal. Oh, she's out to get me, or he's trying to do this and he doesn't. And I'm like, you guys have to put that animosity to the side. Your past is your past. You guys are done. Maybe. I know sometimes people rekindle, but you guys are done. There's no grudge, or there's nothing you need to hold for that person anymore, especially not something that's going to get in the way of how you raise your child and how that affects your child. They don't need to know your grievances. They don't need to know how much the mother gets on your nerves or the father gets on your nerves. They don't need to know all of that stuff. They don't need to be brought up in the middle of drama. You don't need to be on the phone conversation arguing with them in front of the child and things, and just making it so much about yourself, or saying, or even if people go as far as, well, I'm not picking up the kid because she's getting on my nerve right now. So I can't go see my child because she's getting on my nerve. But what's stopping you from seeing your child? Is it because she's really trying to hinder you? Or is it because you're so aggravated with her that you're making the excuse? So I think people just need to separate that. Separate your personal feelings when it comes to your kids, because they have nothing to do with you and that person. When it comes to them, be focused on them, make sure it's about them, compromise when you need to, and be okay with compromising. You didn't give up anything. You're not giving up your manhood by compromising. And be okay with that. And then also know how to have a conversation with that person. Know that when it is time to compromise, or you're trying to figure out how to compromise, talk about, you know, your thoughts, your emotions, give them your take, and then also give them your take, or get their take, I should say, as well.
Absolutely. You said some really powerful and important things when you talked about how to communicate, how to leave the drama behind, how to compromise. Everything you said was just awesome. And I hope that all the dads out there are listening, as well as moms, because Brendan just gave some really, really good advice about how to have a healthy relationship with your child's mom, or vice versa, your child's mother. And it's so important, because it is a way that you're presenting yourself in the world and to your child. And the environment that they grow up in is so important for their own health, their mental health. And a lot of kids are suffering with anxiety and depression as a result of their parents, you know, the parents' emotional turmoil once relationships break up. And so what you said was just so important and valuable. And I hope that the audience was really listening.
And I just to add on to that a little bit more too, like, and understand everyone who's listening, is going to take patience. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and everything is all good. So just be patient. And also you don't have to listen to everybody, including people who may have gone through what you've gone through. Kind of take the advice you get with a grain of salt. I used to always tell my mom, because when certain things would happen between my daughter's mom and I, she, well, you need to do this, you need to tell her that. And I would always look at her and say, listen, why would I change the dynamics of our relationship, how we co-parent, if we're getting along? Why create a situation that's going to create disaster or create problems between us unnecessarily just because you're telling me to do something that all it's going to do is, in the end, is me trying to prove a point. And that's not important. Me trying to prove a point is not important. My daughter and her well-being is what's important. And her and I can compromise on that. And that's allowed us to do a lot of that. We're able to talk about things. I can go to her and I can have a conversation with her. Now, I'm not going to say everything is going to be great 100% of the time. Sometimes we are going to battle or have, you know, tension between the two of us, but it's nothing that can be solved. And I'm not ever going to worry that I may not be able to see my child or is going to put a rift between the two of us because of our situation and vice versa. She's never going to have to worry about it falling back or coming back on her because of any issues that her and I have.
That's awesome, because there are so many people out here suffering with baby mama drama and lack of parenting skills and basically lack of negotiation skills. So it's important, parents, to negotiate. Sometimes people learn the hard way when it comes to the negotiation process, but having a collaborative relationship with your ex and being able to co-parent is one of the most healthiest things you can do for your child or your children. And so I can't stress that enough. What you said was absolutely important. And on that note, I'd like to thank you for coming to the podcast today.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. I love talking about this kind of stuff, because it's, we don't always, as single fathers, we don't always get the opportunity to speak. And a lot of people think that we are an anomaly, but we exist. So I love talking about that stuff.
Absolutely. And you have proven through this conversation that you're one of the good ones. Thank you, Brendan.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The Empowering Connections podcast is not intended to replace the need for a professional counseling relationship. This podcast does not constitute professional advice or counseling services. As always, if you need mental health services, please seek a qualified mental health provider. You can find Connie Akins on the websites Psychology Today and Therapy for Black Girls. If you have an iTunes or Spotify account, please subscribe, share, and continue to listen. Feel free to check out Connie Akins' website at www.empoweringserenity.net. And follow Connie on Instagram at ConnieAkinsLPC. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast. We appreciate you listening to the Empowering Connections podcast and providing feedback. Stay positive.